Well, good morning. We have been studying or doing a study on practical Christianity. The day-to-day living life skillfully, trying to find answers to daily questions and how we're to gain strength, how we're to interact in the things that we face on a daily basis. You know, it's in the Bible we see that wisdom is really the practice of living life skillfully. And we learn a lot, and all of this stuff is covered in different sermons that we hear, in different topics that people have brought up, in different Sunday schools. But it tends not to be in just one package. You know, it tends to be you get a piece here and a piece there, or you read a scripture here and a scripture there, and it seems to fit. But we're trying to take all of it and put it into one study. And I feel like even the next few times I come up here to teach, that it'll just be a continuation on the same type of thing that we'll be doing. So we have been covering work, actual just like our daily work, what the Bible says about keeping and maintaining those things that we've been given, and having careful upkeep, bosses and how and what they're responsible for, and what is actually, you know, things that are fair for them to be doing, and the difficulties that they will face when someone's in a position of leadership as well. And we even spoke on rest and how, in dealing with things that we face, keeping the Sabbath day gives a recharging and a refreshing that allows us to deal with the things that we face during the week. And keeping it holy, but also getting our rest as we should, that is also a recharging. And before we continue today, I also wanted to say, all of these subjects are something that you can study more and find more answers, both to your very specific situation, but also in general terms. It's funny, my notes are way expanded, more than I have time to cover, but we're covering what I feel like the Lord wants us to cover for this time. But let's even take the idea of rest in the Sabbath. You know, the Bible gives tips for what we should do as we go to sleep at night, which is such a kind of a funny thing to think about. let's in the Psalms, in Psalm 4:8, it says something to this effect. It says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep." Because, you know, the Lord cares for all those different things. So, but what's interesting in the book is it's saying, I will lay me down in peace. You know, before we're going to sleep, we should be taking our inner struggles and laying them down at the Lord's feet. I will lay all my burdens at His feet. If we go into Psalms, I will lay everything at, I'll cast all my cares upon Him because He sustaineth me. He will sustain us through the night if we cast our cares on Him, if we allow everything to be at peace. And you know, David was saying that at a time that there wasn't peace. If you keep reading when he says that, he's saying it that the Lord has it all in His hand, so He will lay Himself down in peace. know, so when we're going to sleep. He also says, you know, all you who are weary and heavy laden, you know, come to me and I will give you rest. So before we go to sleep, we should be coming to the Lord. We should be giving him thanks. We should be handing him over those things that we are anxious for in prayer and supplication and allowing him to take the anxiousness out of us. We should be preparing ourselves to lay down in rest, whether things are difficult or not, putting them in order. You know, God controls all the situations. Soul, be at rest and calming yourself down. You know, exercise immediately before going to sleep isn't always the best idea. And what's funny is there's even more that the Lord says, talking about before rest and things that should be. And so I don't want to say that what we're going over is like the end, or there's not more to look at. If there is something that you're having difficulty with in one of these areas that we're going over, please continue your study. Look into it more. You will find answers. The Bible is so practical. He can direct you to the different things in His Word that give you those keys to find what you need. And it's so interesting. The more I study, the more I love studying. And the Bible also has a precept as well about learning from Him and knowing more. He says that He gives more in this realm to those who are weaned of milk. So as we're learning the beginning doctrines and we're finding out what He says in those early things in Christianity, you know, as we seek to know more, He gives us more. It says in the same section of Scripture, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So if we're seeking and we're pressing in to know those basic truths, He gives us more. So again, please don't take my word for any of these things that are here. Please go to seek it out. Make it your own. Find more out about it, because there are a lot more. There's a lot more. So let's pray. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for how you care for us so much that you even outline how daily activities should be done. You know, how you have set ways for us to be successful because you have designed us in a certain pattern. And so your ways are the ones that satisfy and fulfill in that way which pleases you and gives us a peace on a daily level. Holy Spirit, will you come? Will you breathe on your word this morning? Please bring us into those truths you have for us on the daily struggles, on the daily living, that we may go forth and be victorious. And Lord, be able to present ourselves before you, that you may say, well done, well done. That we can be a good and faithful servant in all the areas that you've set us into in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sorry, I will try not to cough into the mic. I've been a little under the weather the last few days. So, we were just on rest. And that is part of the program that God has set. So we are to rest daily. You know, there are things that try to take away our rest. There's things that we do that mess up our rest. But I want to say that is one of the first things towards the next section we're going into, and that is dealing with people, specifically even difficult people. We're going to take a look at. And the Bible does have a difference between whether that be another believer or that be an unbeliever. And then it also gives general conduct with people as we go out through life. And we want to look at all three of those areas as we do. But if we're not getting rest, as we looked at last time, if we're not honoring the Sabbath, then that recharging, that rejuvenation, which allows us to just like to sit in His presence and to not be flustered, not be overwhelmed by the situations of life, which can so easily happen, is part of it. And we all know it. When we get little rest, we tend to snap very quickly, right? So when we're dealing with this next topic, one of the first things was from last week. You know, making sure that we're entering into the rest. Now, there are times when we don't get rest, and it's because God's doing something. But there is grace. There is grace in those times where we can overcome the difficulties because it is for His purposes. It even speaks in His Word about giving up your rest in order to meditate in His Word. That there's times that is the good thing to do. You know, in the nighttime, if you're looking in the Word of God, it actually talks about that at night is one of the best times to study. And there's more than just a couple scriptures along those lines. So we seek Him every morning. But it tends to be, it's interesting. Look at it, it's pretty neat. How many times you see in the night times, someone is seeking God, someone is meditating on His Word, someone is searching the things that He says, looking into His commandments, and you see it again and again. Pardon me. And so there are times when we willfully give up sleep to get those truths that He has, to seek Him, to meditate upon the things that He has for us, then there's other times where we do it ourselves because of entertainment or because of cares that we have or because, boy, we really want that project we're working on done. And so you wake up and it isn't easy the next day dealing with everybody because you haven't got that sleep. Now, sometimes that's necessary. And other times we do it to ourselves because we want something done, but it may not be in God's plan. So we have to be careful. You know, we want to have that right amount of rest where we can deal with the things the Lord has. We want to be honoring the Sabbath day so that He's with us during the week, so that we have that refreshing and recharging. So, there is, I think, Romans 12 is one of the best spots in Scripture about talking about dealing with people and walking in this world daily. Because from the start to the finish of that chapter, it almost seems like you're waking up in the morning, you're walking through the world, not of the world, just like it speaks in this. So we're going along and we're living, we're in the world, but not of the world. We're not being conformed to the ways of this world. So it's almost like you're waking up and off you go. And then it gives you instructions for like daily living. And a lot of it, I feel, is for our daily work and dealing with people. So as we go through here, I just want to touch on a few of these things because right from where it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. See, I don't think it's ending off when it says slothful in business. It's almost as if it's continuing in the workplace. We need to be, as we talked about, as we work, we have to know that it's really, the Lord's our real true boss. That work is really working something in us. That it's not just a paycheck. Remember this from when we were going over work. So he's basically rehashing that and then rejoicing in hope, knowing that patient in tribulation, continuing instant prayer. And that should be something we do during our work. As we hit difficulties, as we are doing stuff, we should be asking Him for the help, for the keys, for the different things that we're doing. It doesn't matter if it's building a home. You get to spots where you're looking at blueprints and you're like, oh man, I don't really remember this, of what I'm supposed to do at this point. Looking at blueprints, all this type of stuff. And it's so funny that as we're praying, how the Lord gives like, oh, I got it. I figured it out. I don't know how many times during the day I'm trying to think of one thing. Because, you know, when you teach history, your brain has to go over long stretches of time. And kids ask questions that you're like, oh boy, I know I read that once in my lifetime. What is it? And so you're like, Lord, please help. Please help. And I might go on to something else saying, you know what, I'll get back to that. And I, quick prayer, moving on. And then all of a sudden, as we go on, it's like, oh, I got the answer. And I start telling them what they're supposed to do, or a key. The Lord, how am I going to really make it so that these kids remember this? And all of a sudden, something different pops in your head. Well, get them into the groups and have them share it. Make a mnemonic device that's like taking the first letter of each word and bringing it into a phrase that they'll never forget, and have them practice it. And all of a sudden, these things come up. You're like, oh, thank you, Lord. He doesn't want this just to be at the end of the day. He wants it to be during work. He wants it to be as we're going through our daily life. And that's part of, you know, being in the world but not of the world. It's not being conformed to the world, of just going to any sort of answer that there may be out there, but finding out which answer is from Him for that situation. So, in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer. I'm saying a lot of that tribulation comes from, you guessed it, other people. I don't know about you, but there's difficulty in work, you know, of getting your job done and being tired and things like that. But I bet you if you did a poll saying, what causes the most difficulty at the workplace, you're going to find at the top of the list that it's dealing with people. You know, a lot of people come for, they're like, I'm going to be a teacher. And they go through all the schooling, but they've never really done anything with teaching. And then they come through and they're in there for their first teaching experience. They're going to teach these kids. They've got all this stuff that they've been taught. And what's funny is, about 3/4 of everything that they did didn't even prepare them for that moment where they're going to stand in front of those kids, because it's dealing with people. And there's kids that they don't want to learn anything that you're telling them. They want to be the center of the attention. There's some that are coming with all sorts of issues that they've had during the week. There's some that just, wow, you know what? The Bible speaks about froward people, people who are intrinsically evil and do wrong and rejoice to do wrong. And so you're dealing with that. It's not like you're building a house and could be in your corner actually building a wall almost by yourself for part of the time. It's like you are continuously dealing with difficulty. And when those people who come in there thinking like, I'm going to be a teacher, but they're not really suited for it, and they get in there like, nope. Not happening. I just learned I didn't like this. And there's lots of jobs that are like that, that people don't understand the difficulty is going to be from dealing with people. And so, we, as we go, and we're here in our daily workplace, praying often, and checking things with the Lord. And part of that is saying, Lord, is this my fault? That's something we do not tend to think of first. Bless them, 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Isn't that interesting? Normally it's, woe is me, how dare they? So when we get into tribulation with people in the workplace, instant in prayer, Because part of that prayer needs to be, Lord, is it me? Is it me? And that shouldn't be the last thing that we pray. It should be one of the first things that we pray. Lord, is it me that's bringing the difficulty? Because remember, our greatest trouble is self. If you've ever heard Pastor Karam teaching almost anything, that comes out all the time. Our greatest enemy is self. So one of the first things in tribulation and trouble we should be praying with our dealings with other people is, Lord, is it me? Is it me? And then we go on, and it continues. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Don't hold a grudge. You know, pray for those people as you would want to be prayed for in your job. See, that's doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule, right? That's how we're to pray for other people. Bless and curse not. Think of the blessing that you would want the Lord to give you. As you give, so it will be given unto you. Pressed down. A good measure. If you think of it like that, it's really easy to pray for those people that frustrate you each day. Pray for them as I want someone praying for you. Lord, bless their family. Help them in work. Help them to overcome the difficulties. And all of a sudden, you find yourself praying correctly. Correctly in a time of great tribulation or difficulty with people. See, I think that Romans 12 really has the general issue nailed down as we continue through it. Verse 15, want to get along with your fellow workers, with your fellow people? Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. 16, be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Identify with the other people who are working. Don't just say something when they say, oh, I had a bad day. Well, tough luck. Say, I've had some really rough days too. We identify with the others around us. If we're to be a friend needs to show themselves friendly. If we don't want the problems at work, we need to be able to put our heart and see how they are dealing with things so that we can deal with them in the correct attitude. And as they see the others that we're working with, that we do care. That we're not just saying, suck it up and work. You know, that may be tough. But we are weeping when they weep. We're rejoicing when they rejoice. Not playing to their tune. Not just doing what they want. Not manipulation. But truly trying to see what they're going through and identify that with things that we've gone through so we can kind of put our hearts and see it as one. And as we're doing that with other people, guess what happens? Our hearts tend to be knit together. Things go well together, as it says in both of those verses. See, one came before the other. If we're not identifying with other people and the things that they go through, then that next part isn't going to be coming properly. So, and then what's interesting, because it says, you know, being of the same mind towards one another, which partially comes from rejoicing with those who are rejoicing, from weeping with weeping, and that's being able, if we're in a time of weeping, which we are, being able to put it aside and rejoice with someone else who's rejoicing. If we're going through something great, being able to put it aside and weep with someone who's weeping. Imagine if I brought every day the things that I was going through into the classroom with me. I would take it out on all the kids. I'd be forcing them to weep when I weep and rejoice when I rejoice. They're never going to be able to knit together with me. So part of it is denying ourselves and coming alongside of the other people who are with us. And I can't stress that enough. That is a big part of dealing with other people. That doesn't mean that at times we don't share our heart or let these things show, as we see in the restoration books, where you have someone like Nehemiah and Ezra, who at a time there was a day where they just could not keep keep what was going on off their face. And that caused the king to say, "What's going on? You're always happy in my countenance." They'd learned to put aside the other things that they were doing and to rejoice with the king when he's rejoicing and all. He learned that stuff. But then that day, there came a day where he couldn't keep it off of his face. And what happened? The king identified with him. See, the majority of time, we must be looking to the others instead of ourselves. It's clear. Condescending to men of low estate. There are plenty of people who want their own way, and they're going to cause lots of problems if they don't get it. So let them have it. Now, we cannot bend on things that are straight. Morally, we must be upright. I remember in school, there were kids that came along and were like, "Why don't you swear? Why don't you smoke? Haven't you ever smoked? How about some chew?" And just all of a sudden, for some reason, they decided, we're going to get Eric to do all these things that we do. I was like, "No, I don't. I don't like this stuff. I don't that." And they were trying to, and I had to say, "No, I was not going to identify with it. I was not going to be able to identify with their problems or their need for it." They caused all sorts of agitation. But guess what? If we suffer for righteousness' sake, good. All the better our reward. But then there's other times where it's just our preference, the way we like to do things. And those things can bend easy. We just don't like to bend them. And I bet you most things that we deal with are like that. My boss at work, he has certain things that he wants me to do them this way. I think I could do them better another way. Do they get done both ways? Yes. At the end of both options, the work is finished. So who cares? If it takes me 5 minutes more, it can take me 5 minutes more. So we want to, men of low estate, those people who will not accept the how about we try it this way? Or what we do that? Like, no, this is the way it's going. So what? Just hold your hands up. Let it go that way. Do your best at how everything is. There are lots of things that we can give. Lots of things that we can bend. 16. Be of the same mind towards one another, as we already just went over. Be not wise. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. My way may not be the best way. And that's something that we actually have to check with. Learn to let others have their way. And then when there's something that we really feel is the way that it should be done, guess what happens? People tend to listen more. It's interesting how often that happens. Whether the boss can know a lot more than us. And I remember when I was building houses, I let others have their way. However you want it done. I'll do it. It's going to get done. Whatever. Work as hard as they can, the way it is. And then I remember there were times I go to my boss like, hey, do you mind if one day a week we change the radio to a different station? I just want something different. It's hard to handle. The music's like, all right. And so as long as it was music, they didn't mind the Christian radio station being on for a day a week. It's like, hey, not so bad. But you see, I don't always have, I gave up my control to the boss, to the others, praying to the Lord, seeking to be, I couldn't accept those things that were on the radio all those times. I was fighting against that stuff, not wanting it, but I'm not the boss. I put myself in a lower place. And then when finally I came to say, well, what about this? Is it possible? They said, yes. All right. Happy. And it was funny just how often that gave me a chance to witness to my boss and other people around, where they'd come and ask something, which they wouldn't normally ask. And just because I would, whatever way they wanted to do something, I would do it. It didn't really matter. And the stuff that didn't matter, I let it go. And that also is what goes into 16, but also into 17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Let's keep going here for a moment. If it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. So, like, let it go. Find another place for it. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So here's it. Don't repay wrong for wrong. Whatever it is, verbally, physically, sabotage, whatever it is. I remember when I'm building houses, one of the things they'd like to do is if you left your work belt on the ground, they'd nail it to the floor. So what, you're going to go around looking for any moment you can nail someone else's work belt to the floor? No. You know, it taught me, okay, you don't ever leave your belt on the floor. End of story. Don't ever forget. Keep your belt off the ground. So, but they never had to worry if they stuck their belt on the ground for that. So they learned to trust me, while I learned not to trust them. But who's going to have more say in a difficult time? Let small things go. That's what that whole thing is saying. You ever read those verses? If someone hits you on one cheek, offer them the other. Well, when you look in both scriptures, it says it the same. There's two different two different gospels that it's in. And when you read one, the word slap actually means punch, while the other one just means a slap. So you know what we're talking about here? We're talking about little things. Can you take a punch? Can you take a slap and be able to offer the other side of your face? If someone takes your coat, offer your cloak instead. Look, it's not taking your home. It's not, you know, stabbing one of your kids. We're talking about clothing. It's clothing. It's a slap on the cheek. Pastor Bailey one time clocked me in the jaw. Only he came so slow, I did not even think that it was going to be the hit that it was. We were discussing what was the best way to drive in one place. And he figured he had the last thing on the subject. He's like, oh, you use this, you save 20 minutes. And his fist came about that fast. And I was like, oh. And when it connected with my jaw, it almost went out of socket. I felt my jaw like, oh, out of place and back in. And I was like, whoa. And just let it go. Well, am I going to punch Pastor Bailey back? Yeah, Pastor Bailey. No. But it's the same thing with everybody else. I'm just giving a funny example. You know, I remember in high school being some kid getting so upset with me that they slugged me right in the stomach. And I had four kids come around me saying, hit him back. Gym teacher won't mind. Come on, he's your coach for wrestling. He won't get in trouble. He wants, you know, you're a good wrestler. He wants you to stay on the team. He wants you to do that. Just go over and slug him. It's like, no, no. And I just continued playing hard, just like I did. That kid just went storming off. But you know what? About 3 or 4 months later, he became my friend. Think he would have if I would have slugged him back? That's winning people over. That's winning hearts. That's what he's asking us to do. And let's skip down here. 20. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know what? Doing good for others who are giving us evil is not for them. It's for us. It is doing stuff in our heart. Now, it is doing something to them. It's going to make them increasingly, more agitated. It's going to cause conflict inside of themselves, hopefully to the point where they finally break and allow the Lord to do something to them. See, repaying good for evil when someone's just like, oh, I just want to get them. I want them to feel bad. That's something that an evil person does. When they can't do that, it torments them. It adds coals to the fire, hopefully at some point to cause them to wonder, why are they able to handle that and I'm not able to handle anything? That they will break and come to the Lord. We're hoping, as we pray for them, as we seek things that we can do good for them, because God is good. Now, dealing with difficult people at work, there's some up there, the indecisive, the know-it-all, the agreeable, will agree with everything, but do nearly nothing. Oh, that's a great idea. Yep. And then nothing happens. The complainer, the silent one, the aggressive one, the negativist, everything's negative. Oh, that won't work. No, not happening. No matter how good the idea is. And you know what? At one point in time, we've all been one of those people. Because that might be someone, that might be like a type of person, but it's also something that we can each do at any given time. All of a sudden become the player, the complainer. Become the aggressive one. That's why we need to be praying first and foremost, Lord, is it me? Is the conflict coming from me? Because we all have it inside of ourselves to be one of those difficult people. And at some point in time, we are. Whether we're being unbending, whether we're wanting our way, whether we're having our bad day, we're letting it show. So all of us have difficult people. So what do we do now? You know, if you're going for the fire extinguisher and the fire extinguisher's on fire, oh boy. But God has his ways, general instructions. Proverbs 20, verse 3, it is the honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Meddling means obstinate, demanding your own way, unwilling to move. Want to be able to get along with others? Be willing to bend. Don't demand your own way. It is very difficult to do, easy to say. How we speak is one of the main causes of conflict. One of the main causes of conflict. Think about this. Proverbs 11, 12 through 13 talks about concealing a matter is what a wise person does. And when it's talking about a matter, it's intimate information. Not spreading embarrassing things. You see someone trip and fall in a puddle out in the parking lot. You're like, did you see Bill just fall in the puddle? Of covering that over. Unlike Ham, who spread everything about seeing his father drunk and in his own nakedness, and he went and he's telling all of his brothers. See, it's concealing embarrassing things. It's being able to keep intimate secrets that someone tells you. Then guess what? People will know you're a trustworthy person. Thessalonians 4:11-12. And study to be quiet and to do your own business. Ooh. Mind your own business and do your own work? Wow. Sounds like a good thing to do. You know, learning to hold our tongue on the job. Someone says something really dumb. Sometimes a comment wants to fly out. Something like, you really going to say that, you know? And you might want to get laughs from other people, thinking that it's going to increase morale. Hold your tongue. You better check real quick that it's something that better come out of your mouth before you say it. So what if you get four people to laugh when you just made one enemy? Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turned away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth cheap friends. A whisperer is a slanderer, a talebearer, someone who's criticizing other people. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. So a person who does not automatically respond in answer in anger calms situations. A level head. Ecclesiastes 10:12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of fools will swallow up himself. Let's just think about that for just one last moment as we end here. Words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. They provide someone a chance to gain grace. See? But someone who's slow to anger appeaseth strife. So there's someone who's hot-tempered. And stuff comes flying out. But if we're gracious in our words, it gives them a chance to choose to do what's right. See, if we just add fire to fire, if we add coals to a fire, what happens to the fire? It increases. But if we stay cool and the fire's raging and we don't instantly get hot, what happens to the fire if you throw cold rocks in it? It starts to die down. And it gives a chance for that hot-tempered person to cool themselves off. It ministers grace. It allows for a chance for the other person to fix the situation. That's interesting from that verse that's there. Don't let any corrupt communication come out. So, right words. Right words cause this. Now, we went over the general stuff. Although we can go over, you know, forgive, 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 forgive. How many times? Oh, 70 times 7. And then when you reach that spot, it's all over. Ooh, 490. No more. No. You keep doing it. Or how about this one? Whoops. Please the Lord. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Wow. You mean if we're not living right before God, it can cause us to be living in problems with other people? Of course it does. Of course it does. So sometimes we could be acting correctly at work, but we're not pleasing the Lord in something else. And our enemies are not at peace because Who is controlling the enemies? Evil spirits. But God can help those situations. He can make even our enemies to be at peace with us. Well, I don't have any problem with that guy. I've heard that said before on the job site. Like someone's not really friends, but the other person just be doing what's right all the time and hearing those words come from someone else's mouth. Well, what about Bill? You seem to have trouble with everyone. Oh, I don't have any problem with that guy. But they're not nice to him. Even our enemies. So that can be something these are all general things. These are all general things. So next week, we'll look at dealing with problems on the work site or not on the work site with other believers and with those who are non-believers and what the difference is of how we're to deal with each group. But these things we just went over, these are all general things with all people that we're to behave, that it's calling us to do. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for, in this world we will have trouble. But what you have done, you've done so that we can overcome the world. Will you help us? Most of the trouble comes from other people. Will you teach us to bend in the ways that we can? To not respond instantly in situations that may have something come out of our mouth that is not right. To minister grace to the other people around us. To learn to pray for those people who give us trouble as we want others to pray for us. Will you please deal with us graciously as we try to deal graciously with others, Lord? I ask that you please give a blessing to each one of us, Lord, this week and the weeks to come, that as we come upon difficult situations with others, your Holy Spirit will speak into our ear and into our hearts, showing us what the right response should be, that we may accept it, Lord. Please help us. We have our part. Will you please help us to accept that word that you speak in that time? And if there is something that we're not pleasing you in, that is causing the difficulty at work, please show us. Please make it plain that we may set it aside, that we may have more peace at work, and that we may find your pleasure daily in doing our jobs. In Jesus' name, amen.